There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
We went to sabotage a fox hunt. They weren't hunting foxes. Part 1. I remember when I first saw something die. A squealing hare, limbs twitching, eyes wide, ripped apart by whippets in the village green of Norfolk. I was only a 6-year-old boy. I couldn't scream, couldn't move. Couldn't do anything to help the creature. Just watched the group of men cheer as fresh blood soaked the hedgerows. That moment rewired something in me. Since then, I've spent most of my life pushing back against the cruelty of blood sports. Anything from badger baiting, stag coursing, and of course, illegal fox hunting. Now I was behind the wheel of a rusted van rattling down narrowing county lanes, the kind that twisted like veins through ancient woodland. GPS had given up 10 miles back. The trees grew taller here, ash, yew, and hazel, forming arches overhead that blocked out the late autumn light. A strange quiet settled. The kind you would only notice when you lived too long in cities. In the back were the crew. Sophie, sharp-tongued, fierce-eyed. She had grown up in the inner city Wolverhampton, got into animal rights after her dog was poisoned by her neighbor. One smashed a gross shooting estate's window with a brick wrapped in a wildlife trust leaflet. Nick was quiet, ex-army. His thousand-yard stare never left him, but out here in the green, among the brambles and birdsong, he came closest to looking human again. This work, sabotage, resistance, was his therapy. Tom was the youngest, barely 23. He came from a long line of country folk. His grandfather ran fox hunts in Yorkshire. Tom once helped flush out a vixen when he was 16 and had nightmares about it for years. He joined us out of guilt, maybe. Or because he believed redemption was real. We rounded the bend and the village emerged. Harlow's Hollow. A pocket of time untouched by modernity. The houses were stone and ivy-choked. Roofs slanted and sagging with centuries of rain. There was no signal, no streetlights, and no traffic. Just a creeping mist and a church bell that rang at the wrong time. A hand-painted wooden sign read, "Welcome to Harlow's Hollow. Tread light, walk right." We slowed as we passed a crumbling war memorial and a small schoolhouse with boarded windows. Two boys played football barefoot in the mud beside it. They stopped as we passed and stared, silent, unsmiling.
"Feels off," Sophie muttered.
"It's like stepping into a 17th century painting that doesn't want you in it," said Tom. We parked beside the only pub in town, the Broken Heart, its sagging woodline leaning as if trying to collapse in on itself. A pub sign swung in the wind, a red stag with its belly slashed open. Inside, the smell of beer vinegar and wet stone hit us first. James was already seated at the far table by the fireless hearth. He looked like the land itself, deeply creased, sun-beaten, carved out of earth and bad luck. He didn't rise when we entered, just raised a hand and gestured us over. "You're the Sabathurs," he said in a low, gruff tone. "Yeah," I said. "You're James?" He nodded. "They're hunting again in a few days' time, but this time ain't no fox they're after." We sat, ordered pints. The barmaid said nothing, eyes flicking to our boots, our gear. A man at the bar was carving something into the wood with a penknife. A fox? A man? It was hard to tell. Nobody smiled. Nobody spoke. Above the hearth hung a tattered watercolor painting. At first glance, a standard fox hunt, riders, dogs, the blur of redcoats. But when you looked closer, the figure being hunted didn't look vulpine though, more humanoid. Later, when the place emptied, James leaned in. The firelight caught the lines of his face. "They've taken children before," he said. "Always made it look like runaways, accidents, but I know what I saw." Sophie frowned.
"Who's they?"
"The Darrow family. In the Hollow Hunt, Lord Darrow and his inner circle been doing it for centuries." He took a deep swig from his pint, shaking his head. "Foxes, at least, keep the rabbits from eating my cabbages. These bastards? They run hounds through my pastures, kill my sheep, piss on my fences like they own everything." Sophie slammed her glass down.
"Why hasn't the village stopped them? How could you people let these sick fucks get away with this?"
James' eyes narrowed. "Because they're afraid. Because they remember." Then they told us the folktale, passed down in dark corners and unfinished verses. The weird was once a man, or something like it. A keeper of balance between man and beast. When men pushed deeper into the woods, clearing, killing, claiming, the forest struck back. Until the Darrows made a pact. Give the weird a child. Let him be raised wild, become a part of the woods, and then hunt him. A ritual sacrifice. To show the forest, man still had dominion. Each successful hunt won them another generation of safety, harvests, and control. He paused. "My son, 3 years ago, he was six, vanished. They said he wandered off into the woods. But I found his coat, torn, just lying in the middle of the path." James took us to his land, a mile outside the village, past a rusted gate and into a hollow glade. There were signs here, subtle but mistakable. Stones stacked in spirals, bones tied with black twine, effigies nailed to trees, half man, half beast. "He's out there still," James said, pointing to the tree line. "They call him the Redling now. You could see him at the edge of the woods, just watching." We made camp in his converted tool shed, maps and photos on the walls, printouts and Polaroids pinned with nails, scribbled notations, bloodstains on an old Darrow crest. The air smelled of damp paper and cold steel. That night, by the crackle of the makeshift fire, we shared our stories again, deeper this time. I told them about the hare in Norfolk. Sophie told about the time she stopped a badger baiting ring somewhere in South Derbyshire and got glassed for it. Nick said nothing for a long time, then murmured, "Kandahar was easier than this place." Tom stared at the fire. If they raised him wild, what does this mean? Does he still think like a person? James answered, "You'll see if he lets you." And just as we settled into the silence, I saw him. In the dark woods, small, pale, draped in a fox pelt, eyes glowing faint ember. He didn't blink.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Just watched. Part 2. The morning broke not with the sun, but with a pale light pushing through a heavy veil of mist. Dew clung to the hedgerows of spindle and hawthorn like sweat on fevered skin, and the ash trees stood as gray silhouette sentinels in mourning. There I stood at the edge of the kitchen garden, cradling a mug of black coffee, watching a pair of jackdaws peck at the remnants of seeds scattered on the path. In the distance, an old woman moved through the fog towards the woodland. Others joined her quietly, emerging like ghosts on the moor, men and women placing small offerings at the wood's edge. A freshly shot wood pigeon, feathers still damp with blood, a brace of rabbits, a wedge of cheddar cheese, strawberries, and a wicker basket of pink lady apples. One man laid what appeared to be a wooden carving of a fox, weather-worn but clearly treasured. At that moment I felt it, the land holding its breath. "They're leaving offerings." It was James, having gotten up earlier to work on the farm before everyone else. For the Redling, no doubt. "Why are they feeding him?" I whispered. "Because some think he's still a boy, others think he's a god, and maybe they're both right," James answered. That afternoon, the group fanned out for recon. We took turns watching the hunting lodge and the beach hangar above the village. Hidden behind gorse and brambles, Sophie and I laid flat in the grass, binoculars on the sprawling estate. There, over several yards, we got the picture of what we were dealing with. Hunting lords and their sycophants, a string quartet playing Waltz of the Flowers, champagne flutes in one hand, riding crops in the other. A bonfire crackled on in the center of the fête champêtre as servants wandered, offering hors d'oeuvre. The fact these people were enjoying themselves at this meat, likely anticipating the idea of a human child being torn to shreds for some twisted ritual, sickened me to the stomach. Then came the hour of the man itself. The devil in velvet hunting coat, lifting his drink as the fire crackled. Lord Robert Darrow, a slender man in his 70s with silver hair, a thin, hawk-like nose, and a haughty tone. The type you often see in some snobby elite club.
"To the old ways,"
he cried.
To Dominion! To the weird that bends the woods in blood!
The crowd cheered. Snippets of conversation followed. Coded, careful. He's ready now. Been seen by standing stones. Another year, another offering. Same line, always the same methods. Back at the farmhouse, Sophie paced furiously. This isn't hunting. This is a frickin' cult. They're really going to sacrifice a child for some folkloric bullcrap? Nick was busy tinkering with one of his radios, while Tom was researching hacked documents. Me? I was watching out the window. I swore the Redling was out there watching me in return. He knows we're talking about him. Sophie slammed her fist onto the table, her voice now crackling with frustration. Why hasn't the village done anything to stop this? How could you all let this happen? Your own child is gonna die, and for what? Some folkloric bullshit? James slowly looked up.
Because they think we're nothing.
He rose, leading to the mantle.
To those bastards, we're filth, bumpkins. Can't tell a hedgehog from a hairbrush.
That's what Darrow called us once, and we believed it. Or at last, we were scared enough to act like we did.
Silence.
I know my son's out there, James said softly. Michael probably doesn't remember who he is, doesn't know who his father is, just waiting for these brutes and those mangy mutts to tear him to pieces like frickin' Christmas wrapping paper, and no one will do anything about it.
James took a deep breath.
That's why you are all here, to help me put a stop into this madness. To help me put a stop to this madness. I don't give a shit at this point if I get killed, or magical nature spirits gets pissed at us for not giving it what it wants. This needs to end.
Nick finally spoke up.
But he didn't call the police for help, or even contact the neighboring counties?
James scuffed.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Hello, police. I'd like to report a fox hunting cult kidnapping kids and sacrificing to a pagan god. Who's gonna believe us?
Joe picked something plushy from the mantelpiece, a soft fox plush, a bit tattered from old age, but holding its enduring charm.
I don't care if I lose 1,000 lambs to the foxes. I don't care if I lose the farm or get hung for treason by villagers. I just want my son back.
He stared into the glassy eyes of the stuffed animal, and I swore I could see a stray tear.
This bloody little thing. This was Michael's favorite toy. He called it Todd. Ironic, honestly. I hated foxes, yet he adored them. They were his favorite animal.
The next day was full of small unease. Shrines found along the tree line, bones and woven brambles, a trail camera of Tom knocked over and snapped in half.
Those toffee-nosed bastards,
Tom murmured in frustration. We discovered a hidden clearing behind a blackberry thicket, where villagers had formed a crude circle of dried flowers, candles, and charred wood in the center. Nick had a good idea what it meant. The following night, we watched the hunting lodge again. The party grew more rowdy. Music drifted over the fields, distorted by wind and fog. I caught Lord Darrow in my view once again, standing by the fire, now with the grotesque pelt of a victim of his fox hunts draped over his shoulders. He spoke again to his followers.
In 2 days, we'll be the child of beasts of Prey Run. The land will be reminded who holds the whip, and once again, Mother Nature will kneel to her masters.
We listened to the rhythm of the woodland as we sat on the porch, planning our next move on the hunt. James joined with Todd cradled in his arms like a newborn baby.
We need to act first, James said directly. This isn't just Michael or Bloody Foxes anymore, but many children to come before us.
The autumn fog thickened like porridge, curling around the farmhouse like smoke. I couldn't sleep that night. I came to this village to help put an end to the fox hunting, only to be dragged into a conspiracy. Once I finally succumbed to fatigue, I dreamt. I dreamt of running through the eaves and underbrush with roots like bare knotted fists. Behind me, a pack of hellish dogs with red eyes and frothing maws snapping at my heels. Ahead, the redling at the edge of the woods, staring at me with bright amber eyes and whispered, "Would you bleed to stop them?" I snapped out of my nightmare, only to see a fox staring out of my window. Once it noticed I was awake, the beast trotted back into the thickets. What does this all mean? Part 3. The first sound was a bird. A male blackbird trilling from the hedgerows. His voice was brittle, glass bright against the dull hush of the early morning, soon joined by the squeals and grunts.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Of James' neighbors, panaged pigs set loose, echoing amongst the acorn-rich underbrush. On I sat by the window, tea cooling in my hands. I hadn't slept much that night. None of us did. The night had been thick with half-seen shapes, the woods creaking like old bones. Somewhere past midnight, even the local barn owl had fallen silent. Then came the robin and its autumn song. It perched on the windowsill, puffed red breast bright and gray, head cocked as though listening. James noticed it first.
"That's a sign," he muttered. "Old folks say robins carry messages from the dead, from the spirit world."
The little bird let out a single note, sharp and strange, then flew off towards the edge of the trees. "Well, I think Mr. Redbreast wants us to follow him," Sophie said, already grabbing her coat. "I know, and I'm not to ignore a guide when one shows up." No one questioned her. In Harlow's Hollow, too many things weren't a coincidence. We followed the robin deep in the woods, fluttering to branch, sometimes waiting patiently for us to keep up, past the place where the offerings had been left the day before. Many are now gone or slowly decaying from the elements. As we treaded, we could hear pheasants clattering through the underbrush. A hedgehog, perhaps, returning home from a late night of hunting, waddled across our path. The stillness was shattered by a sudden rustle, and there he was. Michael, the redling. The young boy, half shrouded in the morning mist near an ancient hue, a shape at a time. He wore the same fox pelt draped over his shoulders, matted with burrs and dried leaves. His eyes, human, yet no, met mine without fear. Sophie stepped forward slowly, crouching low.
Hey there, sweetheart. It's okay.
The boy's head tilted. Then, with an uncanny quickness, he dropped to all fours and bolted, but not away. He circled them, joining him from out of the undergrowth were foxes, badgers, stoats, weasels, and even a polecat. Low and silent, like a predator testing a herd. Nick whispered,
"He's not just a kid anymore."
"No,"
James said, voice raw.
"He's been out in the woods for far too long, and those monsters made him into this."
His knuckles whitened.
"My son, that's my bloody boy."
A stunned silence followed. The air grew colder. Rooks cawed overhead. The forest was listening. James stepped forward slowly, voice shaking like old timber.
"Michael, son, it's me, your father."
The boy flinched, his eyes feral, golden, blinked uncertainly.
"Do you remember? Your name is Michael Corbin. You lived on a farm with me. You used to love reading Rupert Bear, playing football with your mates, and you loved foxes, knowing that I didn't. You have a little fox named Todd back home. You wouldn't sleep without him. He misses you."
The redling tilted his head. A breath caught in his throat, but he said nothing.
"I looked for you," James whispered. "I never stopped. I'm sorry I let those horrible people take you."
The redling tilted his head at James. A rather protective sow badger snarled at the sheep farmer to keep him away from the redling. "I didn't believe what I saw. Michael claimed her by a quick catcher."
"Incredible," Nick whispered. "Your son is a real-life Mowgli now." "Yeah, bloody hell, son," James muttered.
But before we could move closer, a crack rang through the air. A branch snapped somewhere nearby. A hiss of movement. Then came the smoke. Michael's animals scattered into the undergrowth. A veil of oily vapor moved closer. A track rang through the air. A branch snapped somewhere nearby. A hiss of movement. Then came the smoke. Figures emerged from the smoke screen, tall, masked, and silent. The hunters. Their faces were hidden behind grotesque masks of bone and hide, like beasts born of nightmare. One held a long shepherd's crook, another a net. Michael shrieked. Then chaos. Sophie hurled a smoke flare, painting the world crimson. Nick tackled one of the men to the ground.
"Got one!"
Tom scrambled through the smoke, grabbing Michael's arm, but something yanked the boy back. A steel trap disguised under leaves clanged shut beside his feet. The hunters surged forward. James tried to run, shouting for the boy, but I grabbed him back by the collar, having seen through those hunters' games.
"Don't! It's a trap!"
Michael was dragged, kicking and howling, into his metal cage set by an old rusted trailer behind a covered quad bike. The hunters vanished into the smoke, their prize in tow. The cock robin returned. He flitted around James' head, then darted after the fleeing cage, its trilling call like a warning. Tom and Nick threw the bound cultist onto the kitchen floor. The masked man now cradled. He was no rural villager. His accent was posh, his clothing too clean beneath the grime.
"You're not from here," Sophie growled.
"Well, aren't you a clever little chaff?" the man sneered. "Does it matter? It's too late."
I stepped closer, now intrigued what this ruffian had to say.
"So you could keep pretending you lot owned the land."
The cultist smiled wider, clearly indulging in our frustration.
We don't pretend. We remember. The old ways. Before your lot came with the cameras and flares, we know the power beneath the soil, even better than those imbecilic locals.
Then why behind your smoke screens? Tom snapped.
What? You think you lot were the first to try to sabotage our rituals?
The man hissed.
We gotta keep you fools on your toes.
After securing the snob in one of James' rooms for the night and giving him something to eat, hashtag, we're not heartless, we retired for the night. Tom, Nick, and Sophie, battered and exhausted, were the first to hit the sack, leaving me alone with poor James. Poor bloke. Having to reunite with his son, only to be stripped by him once again?
They're really gonna do it. The ritual. My son. The Hunt's legacy. But not this time. I don't care if the wild swallows my farmstead whole. I don't care if wolves magically appear from the other world. I'm getting my son back or I'll die trying.
From the woods came a sharp bark of a fox. And then silence. I jolted awake just past midnight, realizing I had dozed off in my chair. The dying embers of the fireplace now smoldered. The wind had stopped. The cock-robin sat perched on the back of my chair, watching me with its jet-black eyes. Then, from the woods, came a sound unlike any I had heard before. A scream. Half man, half animal. Michael, being changed, and soon, the hunt will begin. Part 4. Rain pattered lightly on the windows of the old.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Old stone farmhouse, casting long streaks across the glass like claw marks. Inside, the flicker of candlelight danced on the wooden beams. A faint, musty smell of damp earth and livestock clung to the air. Sam Bedford, our captive, stayed tied to the chair in the center of the room, soaked, shivering, but still smirking. Nick leaned against the wall, arms crossed. I paced. I couldn't help myself. Tom fiddled with a worn hunting knife, the tension bleeding from his fingers. Sophie sat stiffly, trying not to glare at the prisoner. James remained in the corner near the hearth, Todd in his hands.
You know what we're here for, Joe said. Tell us what the hell is going on.
Sam chuckled, lips split where someone had struck him.
You lot don't understand what you're interfering with. This isn't some posh countryside game. This is tradition. This is balance.
James's voice crackled like dry timber.
My son was kidnapped. To be used like a sacrificial lamb for your little pagan cult?
balance?
He took a step forward.
You don't know the meaning of it.
Tim turned his gaze on him.
The weird took what it's owed. You should be grateful it didn't take more.
Having enough of the nonsense, I slammed my fist on the table. The weird? Enough of that fairy tale bullshit.
It's not a fairy tale,
Sam whispered.
It's older than belief. Older than your churches, your cities, your paved roads. The weird is the forest. It's the rot and the regrowth. It gives it all and it takes. We just obey.
Sophie's eyes narrowed.
You obey by kidnapping children, sacrificing them to beasts and running through with hands?
Sam smiled again.
We prepare them. They become something more. Guardians, vessels. They shed their humanity so we don't have to.
That's sick, Tom muttered. Sam ignored him.
Every Redling was once a child, released into the forest. The Weird watches them. If they survive until the hunt, they are blessed. If they die, they are still given as tribute. That's the agreement.
Nick stepped forward now, his voice quiet but fierce.
My dad was a terrier man. Fox hunts were our life. I get traditions. I get the land. But this is twisted. Even he'd never be part of this.
Sam looked at Nick with something like pity.
Because he was blind as a mole to what the hunt really was.
Later that evening, after Sam had been locked in the stable under watch, the group returned to the farmhouse kitchen. A bottle of whiskey was passed around, but no one drank much. The silence was heavy.
I never told anyone the truth,
James finally said. His voice was raw.
Not even the police.
Everyone looked up.
My twin brother, Luke, he was the first one I saw taken. I was 6. The last time I saw him in the woods behind the old vicarage when the horns sound. The horns came first, screaming, barking, then the riders, masks, red coats, blood on their coats.
My face tightened. Sophie leaned in.
They grabbed him, took him. I remember my mother screaming and I remember the forest swallowing him whole. That was the last time I saw.
The room was silent, but not for the crackle of the fire. Sophie placed a hand onto the farmer's.
We'll get him back, she whispered. I promise.
The next morning came with a light drizzle. Today was devoid of birdsong. Sophie stepped outside, blinking against the fog. Something darted out of the tree line, low, quick, and red. A flash of red fur. A little warble passage with several drawn-out, faded notes.
Mr. Redbreast's gone off again, Sophie muttered, half to herself. Well, I think he wants us to follow.
I joined her, rifle slung over my shoulder. You really believe he's leading us somewhere?
I don't know, she said, but I've got a feeling.
Nick spotted it first. Torn feathers, a fresh mollard, near the trees, left on the flat stone. A gift or a warning? Further in, the group found relics. Half-buried masks, wicker cages, carvings, and ancient stones. Glyphs of man-beast hybrids with thorns for crowns. Tom reached for one, only to recoil.
Still warm.
The forest called to him. It always had,
but now it sang to his blood. No matter how much he tried to break free of his iron containment, no matter how he tried to chew at the bars. Michael was not a boy anymore, not in body or mind. He moved like mist through the trees, muscles and fur and instincts. The hound's scent lingered on the wind, and it made his skin prickle. He remembered a time, vaguely, when he had had a name, a toy, a voice that read stories in a soft country drawl, a garden with carrots and tomatoes, a dog barking cheerfully. Now those memories were flickers, scattered like bird bones. The others, the hunters, were nearby. He could smell their sweat and smoke, their new methods. Some carried smoldering urns that casted thick plumes, choking the undergrowth. Some laid false trails. Some had bagged foxes to let them loose and blood the hounds. The Redling hated them. He remembered the fear. He remembered being dragged from somewhere. Somewhere that's now fuzzy to him. He remembers the... And now, he would become the hunted. He crouched in a corner, his muscles twitching, and saw him. The master of the hunt. The one with the smile of a fox trap and a tongue like a snare. At dusk, Sophie sat alone outside the farmhouse. She stared at the edge of the woods, arms wrapped around herself. She had stopped denying it. This place was wrong. It was ancient. Alive. She saw them, the trees, bending slightly even when there was no rustle. She heard voices in the rustle, felt her pulse match the beat of something deeper, older. Weird. I joined her, crouching by her side. You all right? I asked. Sophie didn't answer at first. I used to think things like this were just stories, just weird old traditions that we needed to end. But now? I don't know. What if the land remembers? What if it's fighting back? Behind her, the wind howled. No. It spoke. A syllable she didn't understand. Yet somehow, she felt it was her name. That night, the Redling overlooked the valley, muscles tensed. And there it stood, at the edge of the woods. The weird. A towering shape cloaked in bark and shadow. Antlers formed of tangled roots. Hollow eyes staring directly at him. The animals, deers, foxes, birds, even a hare, gathered around it like children before an ancient god. And it nodded once. The Redling understood.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
The time of the hunt was near. Part 5. The farmhouse was still, its walls breathing a quiet, uncomfortable calm. My eyes snapped open with a start, a faint creak of floorboards echoing from downstairs. I rushed down, fearing the worst, finding a door to the makeshift holding room ajar. Sam Bedford had broke free, his restraints torn to shreds, and now was standing over James with the knife in hand.
You'll regret this, Sam spat, eyes wide. You'll regret everything. The weird will reclaim what it's owned.
James, already battered and bruised from yesterday, struggled to rise from his chair. His hands grasped for Todd, his son's fox plush, a fragile piece of the past. With a roar, James lunged forward. His shepherd's crook crashed into Sam's ribs, knocking the knife from his hand. I was on Sam in an instant, pinning him to the floor. Nick grabbed the knife, casting a grim look at the cultist.
"You're not getting away this time, prick,"
Sam snarled, twisting at Joe's grip.
"The weird is coming. You're all dead, even the Redling."
A cold chill ran through the room at the mention of the Redling. James glared at Sam, voice low and threatening.
"We've had enough of your games, Sam."
But Sam was too wild. With a final desperate thrash, he slapped free, dashing towards the open door. I was quick enough to pull him back inside, and with some help from Tom, we managed to subdue him again. But this time, Sam had given a parting gift. The truth, twisted and unrelenting.
"The weird. You think you've escaped it? It's always watching. It's always there,"
Sam muttered, his eyes unfocused.
"It's in the land, the trees, the stones, the Redling."
Once Sam was taken care of, we set out into the woods, our feet heavy in the cold morning air. The wind whispered through the trees as if the forest itself was alive, watching their moves. James led the way, his hand still clutching the plush fox tightly. He knew Michael was caged, a prisoner to the cult, to the tradition. He was hidden in an ancient stone clearing, the cage rusted and surrounded by tangled ivy and symbols carved deep into the earth. The weird's mark was everywhere here, and it had been for centuries. Darrow and his followers had long since set up camp, and the air was thick with anticipation. The ritual was about to begin. The glade was still, cloaked in pre-dawn shadow, but the hush was brittle, the kind that comes before something breaks. In the clearing stood a cage, black iron, shaped like a haunting trap, cruel in its craft. Inside, the Redling crouched, bare-skinned and filthy. His limbs taut as twisted branches. His eyes, once human, were now golden, bright, alert, and far away all at once. Around him, the hunt assembled. Men and women in antique red jackets, masked with bone, bark, and boar's tusks. They carried polished horns and hunting crops, boots gleamed even in the dirt. Some on horseback, others with hounds snapping at their heels. Smoke curled from torches burning with a greenish hue. Lord Darrow stepped forward. He stood tall beneath the ceremonial antlered helm, and the hush around him was reverent. His voice, when it came, was cold and commanding.
"For centuries we have culled the wild. For order, for legacy, for man's divine place over tooth and claw. Today, once more, we will run down the Redling and remind the land who holds the leash."
Michael's body twisted, contorted. His eyes widened with pain as his form began the change. He groaned, his skin rippling, his fur sprouting along his arms and legs. His teeth elongated. His eyes glowed with a wild, feral hunger. James now looked more fox than human. He's ready for the hunt. A masked follower approached the cage. His hands trembled as he turned the key. The cage door creaked open. Michael didn't move. A horn blew. The hounds snapped at their leashes, howling in anticipation. And the forest answered. We laid hidden in the brush, The plane was chaos. Tripwires, smoke flares, interference. Anything to interrupt the ceremony and save Michael. But already, it was slipping away.
"I should have stopped this decades ago,"
he whispered.
"Michael, my boy, I should have saved you."
Michael ran. Not like a boy, but like a creature forged by thicket and thorn. He darted through the trees, leapt rocks, veered into shadow. The hounds bellowed behind him, horses thundered.
"Let the hunt commence!"
Darrow bellowed. Smoke bombs cracked and hissed, the Colt's grotesque trail hunt, blending real scents with old blood, fox piss, and burning herbs. But suddenly, something changed. The air shifted. The undergrowth moved. A black fox darted across the path, not away from the hunt, but towards it. Then another. Eventually, it seemed that the entire local fox population kept charging from the woods. And then, everything broke loose. The badger lunged from beneath the hedge and bowed over a hound, soon joined by his family. A fallow deer herd charged at the steeds with antlers lowered, like spears of bone and burr. Sparrowhawks, buzzards, kestrels, and tawned owls shrieked and dove, talons flashing. Magpies, crows, rooks, jackdaws, and jays screamed overhead, pecking riders at their heads and at their eyes. A stoat leapt into a boot and bit deep. Mice, rats, voles, weasels, rabbits, hares, and polecat, and even a bloody otter. They all poured from the forest canopy. The little beasts swarmed the bootstraps while panicked horses reared. From the branches, squirrels leapt onto the heads of the riders, biting at noses and ears. Even more surprising was some of the village's cats and dogs seemed to have joined in on the natural forces. A murmuration of starlings, wood pigeons, tree sparrows, bullfinches, goldfinches, blue tits, great tits, dunnocks, wrens, and even pipistrelles clouded the forest eaves. A swan tackled a hunter to the ground, beating her into submission with its wings while a heron's eerie cry pierced the woods. The robin from before landed briefly on James' shoulder, then darts into the fray. The hounds, once bloodthirsty, snarling beasts, halted mid-lunge, ears twisting. A low whine shivered through their ranks, a flicker of recognition deep in their amber eyes. Then, as if some ancient memory awoke in their marrow, they turned. With guttural snarls, they wheeled around and threw themselves at their handlers, biting hands that once beaten them, dragging down red-jacketed riders as foxes lunged from the bracken to join them. Screams filled the air, curses swallowed by the thundering cries of jackdaws and buzzards. Deer barrowed into fleeing cultists, birds pecked at their faces, rabbits and hares tripping running men. Even the stoats and weasels leapt like shadows from the ferns, slashing at ankles with needle teeth.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
We blinked, stunned even, to think that the local ecosystem was fighting back until Tom yelled,
"Don't just stand like bellends, help them!"
With whoops and howls, we surged forward into the chaos. Sophie snatched a fallen riding crop and swung it at a hunter trying to raise a horn. Nick tackled a masked figure wrestling a barn owl off its shoulder. Tom and two deer leapt aside as a massive branch cracked by smoke and chaos came crashing down, separating the hollow from the path to escape.
"No one's leaving," he muttered grimly.
"Good."
A voice rang out, manic and sharp.
"View hollow! Tally-ho!"
It was Darrow. His hunting coat torn, eyes wild, he had broken off from the fray and was sprinting uphill, crashing through underbrush with his whip raised high. And ahead of them, leaping, half fox, half boy, was Michael.
"The Redling's mine!"
Darrow screamed, voice cracking with unhinged glee.
"The blood shall run! The land shall remember!"
"Shit, James!" I shouted. "He's after your boy!"
James turned like he had been stabbed.
"No, no!"
He bolted, faster than I had ever seen him move for a man of his age. I followed after him, my heart hammering against my ribcage, dodging low branches, stumbling over exposed roots, slick with blood and moss. Behind us, the battlefield howled with fury, but ahead was a sacred terror. The Redling's breath burned. His limbs didn't move like they once did. Pads where fingers used to be, clawed, gripped the wet leaf litter. The world smelt alive. Every leaf, every pulse of fear, every whisper of blood. He could hear him behind, the master of the hunt, Darrow. The forest throbbed like a heartbeat around him. Trees shimmered and shapes danced just beyond the edge of sight. His thoughts tangled. He knew he had been something else, someone once. But it was like trying to remember a dream with cold water poured into your ears. But then something shifted. He had looked back just once and seen the twisted mask of Darrow, whip raised, howling the old cries of the hunt. And it wasn't fear he felt. It was hatred. Branches tore at their coats. James was bleeding from the temple but didn't slow. I could barely keep pace, panting, his side burning.
"There!"
James gasped.
"Up the ridge!"
Darrow was gaining on Michael, his coat all streaked with mud and blood, face white and eyes wide with zealotry. The farmer screamed,
"Leave my son alone, you parasite!"
Darrow didn't turn. He was shouting again,
"Tally-ho! The blood must run!"
James surged forward, with a roar, tackled Darrow from behind. The two men tumbled down the slope, crashing through the brittle leaves and root. They grappled. Darrow fought like a man possessed, eyes glowing with frantic flare.
"You don't understand,"
he spat, wrenching his arm free.
"He's in the gate! The ward demands it!"
"You're a monster!"
James snarled, slamming his fist into Darrow's face. Above them, James staggered to his feet and looked at the trees. There, crouched behind a thicket of dogwood, panting, eyes wide, was his son.
"Michael!"
James choked, stepping forward. The man before him smelled of earth, sheep, and sorrow. That scent, that voice.
"Michael!"
The man whispered again, kneeling, offering a small toy fox. His fingers trembled.
"It's Dad,"
the man said. A flash, a memory, hands lifting him high, laughter, mud pies, sheepdogs barking. Michael blinked. The forest swam. He stepped forward, then stopped. A voice from him whispered. The weird had arrived. At the tree line, cloaked in a body of vines, antlers, bones, moss, and birdsong, the weird stood. Its face was a shifting tapestry, the fox skull, the owl eyes, bark, and starlight. It said nothing, just watched. Michael turned, breath catching. Behind him, foxes and hounds stood together. To his side, James, arms out, whispered his name. Below, Daryl struggled in the mud as I held him down, teeth gritted. The choice burned in his chest, and the Redlead remembered who he was. The weird loomed at the forest's edge, half seen, half felt, like a storm made flesh and folklore. Its antlered crown shimmered with leaves that moved through, but there was no wind. The robin nestled in the crook of its branches. Owls blinked slow and wide from the hollows of its chest. Darrow broke free from my grasp, bleeding and gasping. He stumbled to his knees before this being.
I only did what was needed, he stammered. I upheld the old rites. The blood, the hunted, wasn't for me. It was for you.
He stretched out a trembling hand.
Master, please, I serve you. I kept the pact. The boy was the offering.
The weird stared, unmoving. The forest fell silent. Then slowly, it stepped forward. Darrow whimpered, crawling backwards.
No, no, I'm loyal. I did it for the land, for order. They're the trespassers, not me.
The weird reached out and touched him. Darrow screamed. His limbs bent and folded, bones snapping like firewood. His flesh peeled in shifting waves, white furs spilled across his body like snow on stone. His voice shrank to whispers, paws thrashing in the autumn leaves. Within seconds, Darrow was a white fox, panting, eyes wide with terror. Then came the sounds, padding feet, soft and circling. The black fox stepped from the shadows, regal and grave, eyes gold like ancient amber. It nodded once. Behind it came dozens of red foxes, flanking on both sides. And then from the thickets, the hounds, their loyalty reborn and belonging to the weird, stepping forward without snarling. They didn't lunge. Darrow froze then, sensing what was happening, fled. The foxes followed, then the hounds. A hunt in reverse, not to kill, but to cast out. A sentence from the woods itself. Darrow vanished into the trees, chased from the hollow, never to return. Michael watched, breath held. James stepped closer.
You remember me, don't you?
Michael looked down at the toy fox, now muddy in the farmer's hand. Slowly, he reached out, clawed, trembling, and took it. A shiver passed through his body. Not of cold, but of memory. He let out a noise, a quiet, croaking sound. Not quite human, not quite fox. Then he leans forward. And he rests his head against James' chest. James sank to his knees, tears streaming down his face. He cradled the boy, whispering,
"It's over. You're home."
The clearing was littered with broken masks, broken illusions. We stood in silence, bloodied, bruised, but together. Around them, the wildlife slowly withdrew. Birds taking to the air, deer vanishing between the trees, small mammals disappearing like shadows. James rose, keeping one arm around Michael.
"What happens now?"
he asked hoarsely. Nick wiped mud from it.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Brow. We tell everyone in the village. Tom looked over to the trees. Will they believe us? The weird was gone. The air changed. Lighter. Older. As if something terrible and sacred had passed. Sophie looked to the tree line, where the last foxes had vanished.
Maybe they don't need us to, she murmured. Maybe the land already knows.
Epilogue, 1 year later. The hollow is quieter now. No horns, no hounds, no red-coated riders, no children disappearing beneath the boughs. But there are still whispers, of course. There always will be. Old stories cling to the bones of places like Harlow's Hollow. But the village breathes easier. Gardens bloom fuller. Livestock stay unbothered. Children play at the wood's edge without flinching at shadows. Some say there's a boy walking with foxes at dusk, barefoot, russet-haired, eyes bright and witchful, and with a little plush in his arms. He doesn't speak, but sometimes leaves feathers, stones, or acorns on doorsteps like gifts. James watched from the porch, mud in hand, always waiting for his son to come home for dinner. Sometimes the boy returns, sometimes he doesn't. And that's enough. As for me and the other saboteurs, we still speak of the weird quietly. Not as a god, not as a monster, but as a reminder that the wild is not forgotten, that the land remembers who treads it and how, and that one day, should cruelty rise again, so too will the forest.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.